Hey guys, this is John, and welcome back to another edition of the Mobo Radio Carnival. Today I'm speaking with Ryan Neville and Sandy Wilson of the Midnight Blues Band. Enjoy. Hey buddy, you there?
Hey, good morning. How's things? Are you good? I said it's afternoon for you, isn't it?
It's just afternoon, man, and things are fantastic, man. Good to hear from you again.
Hey, Sandy, look, it's been way too long, hasn't it?
Well, I think it's always way too long. We get with people I like, but yeah, man, it's a good timing because you guys are coming to town, and it'll give a chance to tell the world what's going on a little bit, and hopefully,
absolutely. And we're so looking to catching up with you. Hopefully, we do get a chance to see you. Hey,
I've actually been pretty boring in the. I think it was a year ago that we spoke, man.
Wasn't it?
I've been pretty boring, pretty sedate. You know, everyone says I'm toeing the line, and they go, "What the F, Johnny? What's going on, brother?" But anyway, we have Sandy is with us as well.
This is Sandy, who you haven't met before. It was just me last time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. But I've heard her vibe before, so I'm familiar with her.
Yeah, good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. I already pressed the button, so why don't we just roll right into it? You two just take your time. One, introduce yourself and talk a little about yourself, and then we'll get around to the other one. Do the same thing.
Oh. Thanks, John. That's fantastic. That's
so awesome. It's time to draw lots.
All right. So that's, as I said, I'll start. Do you want me to go first?
Fantastic.
After you.
All right.
There we go.
Hey John. This is, Ryan Neville here again. So we haven't caught up for a week. It's been a year, in fact, since we last spoke, wasn't it?
And, about there.
Yeah. So I'm from the band Ryan Neville and the Midnight Blues. And this, of course, is Sandy, who's coming with me for our journey to the States. We're both traveling over to see you guys in the next couple of weeks, in fact, isn't it, Sandy?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's right. So Sandy, of course, plays guitar, keys, and vocals, and does everything in between. So we have this really tight little duo that we fly to the States, and we tour around, and of course we're releasing our new CD coming out very soon. So fun and games, and we're so looking forward to it. Look, I'm even wearing my jacket.
Nice, man. Now is the new release, is it the combo, is it the two of you, is that what's going on? And we still got to get around to Sandy saying hi and letting us know where she came from and all of that good stuff. But since you brought up the new release, is it a collective between you two, is that what's going on?
Yes, it is. So it was an album that we've been working on. In fact, it was about 6 months ago we started, and to just, you know, trying to get it all done as you do, and it's come out beautifully. So it was a pleasure actually to do this this album, Sandy.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So is it
basically a 12 song set, or is it a 10 to 12 song set, or is it an 8 song set? What's the deal with the amount of material that's going to be on the album?
10 songs, and yeah. So it's time round. We just something a little bit different. For me, it's album number 10, in fact. So therefore, I wanted to do something a little different. So it's kind of an bare bones, we're calling this. And so it's just really stripped back. So Sandy plays guitar on a couple, mainly piano through it, and guitar and vocals for me. Yeah.
I imagine too. I mean, hopefully I'll get a chance to hear some of that in the not too distant future. I know that I've heard a lot of your vibe, and it would sound like or seem like an easy transition to a more bare bones thing anyway. In fact, that's probably how you started back in the day.
And that's a very good point. And that is exactly how all of my songs started. Always for me is acoustic guitar. And yeah, I start music first. So yeah, you're absolutely right. And then it's that skill of, present it to the world in a different format. So it's keyboards, it's strings, organ, everything you can to make it larger than life. But so the acoustic is actually quite a pleasure to leave it as basic. It's a lot more stress, to be honest, because it has to be a good song, right? You can't hide behind things. So it has to be a good, solid song to start with. So I'm hoping that's what we've done this time around.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Well, so Sandy, why don't you say hello to the audience and tell us where you hail from, where you come from?
Hello. Yeah. So nice to meet you too, John. Local, so Christchurch, New Zealand. And been playing for a few decades, so mostly for piano and keys, guitar, bit of ukulele, 12-string guitar, so sort of, and vocals, covered a bit of ground, so it's been good to play the band with Ryan and then do our acoustic set, so. It's
I'm always jealous of people who have the ability to play more than one instrument. I can't even sing and play an instrument at the same time, yet you two have both mastered that.
I know. And look, and Sandy does it very, very well. And look, the thing she never pops in when we do interviews and things, which she should always, I think she should lead with this, is that she has a degree in jazz. So she's done,
Well,
So I.
I think the last time we talked, one of my bigger questions was how it was for Sandy, because she wasn't there, to be kind of in a male-dominated arena as a keyboardist, because you do play wonderful keyboards. I love the way you play keyboards.
Oh, thank
So
you. Thank you.
what is that like?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all musicians, so age or male, female, it's kind of doesn't matter. When you're playing, for me, when I'm playing, that's my home. I always think when I'm on the piano, that's my home. So it's incorporating everything else, but it's like that's where I feel comfortable. So it's like whoever I'm playing with,
Well,
bring
the
them in.
thing specifically I think we were talking about that I might have missed was we were talking about blues music and how it's dominated by these male ethos of, my wife and I are having problems, or my woman left me, or you know what I mean? And I guess I meant it more in that context than just in general, because I would say that musicianship is pretty much balanced at this point. It might lean one way or another, but who could measure all that? But I did mean specifically in when you jazz. Obviously, it's a mix, but when you play blues keyboard, which you do quite well, and you're playing out in these, and dudes are like, a lot of us are Neanderthals, and we're like, hey, there's no way a chick can play the blues, and then there you are rocking it, and you don't feel like there's any barriers, I assume.
That's right. Well, it's from the heart and from the soul, really. So that's where it all comes from. And
And look,
it's...
I got to add, she kicks butt.
She does. She's an exceptional keyboard player.
holds her own, and
110%
Yeah. There's
power.
no messing about when you're pounding the keys.
Amen to that, right?
Yeah.
She
Well, let's
kicks butt.
talk a little about the jazz aspect then, because I didn't get to investigate that. I didn't get to talk to you about it. So you did jazz study somewhere?
Yeah, I did here. Locally. So it's a course. Mostly it is, well, it's kind of jazz, but that incorporates well blues as well.
Yeah.
And then I've got a classical piano background. So I really started with classical, went through the exams, the old piano practical exams,
Yeah.
got into modern, and then it sort of incorporated jazz after that and blues. So, and that's what I try and incorporate when I play, if I can get kind of a accumulation of all those in a song, that's really cool, and that's sort of a goal to incorporate as much as I can. And then bluesify it or jazzify it, depending on what we're doing or what songs.
Yeah, that's right. So
And it
Sandy,
sounds.
the jazz.
Yeah, it sounds like when you do songs with Ryan, you're able to actually meld and mix and pick and choose whatever, vibe you've learned. It could be a little jazz, a little blues in one song in itself.
Yeah, I like sort of filling in all the gaps, isn't it? So,
Yeah.
yeah. I suppose you've got the vocals and then there's sort of little gaps at the end of each phrase. So, we have a bit of a challenge. Who's going to do
That's
the
right.
gaps?
But it
That's good.
always does that in any style of music. It's interesting to pull in different aspects. It keeps it interesting all the time. And
I
that's the
think it
beautiful,
does, yeah.
beautiful thing with Sandy is that we certainly have that feeling. And of course, as you may know, Sandy performs in our band as well. We do this as a duo, but that's the beautiful thing. So she's actually is now musical director of her band because she has that knowledge. And that's something else that you bring. Blues can be downright rocky and dirty, right? But the
Right.
jazz adds that prettiness and class to what we're trying to do. So, we're really grateful for Sandy for being able to bring that.
Yeah, it certainly gives it like an elegance. All of a sudden you're hard and driving it, but there's this touch of elegance to it, and I think that's what you're talking about as well.
Doesn't
Before we dig too deep, I want to get I'm going to put on Don't Stop so people can at least start to go, okay, this is what John's talking about with these guys. This is what they kind of do. And I'm gonna roll with that, and then we'll get back and talk about how you guys met and paired up and decided to do the tour, and we'll talk a little more about the tour.
Thank you. Oh, sounds awesome.
All right, I'm gonna roll on that right now.
Everybody needs something. Wanna make it through, you got to hold on to that someone. You never know, they might need you. You never know when the day may come that you're trying to break on through. You keep your head out of water, shining through, yeah. Don't stop what you're doing. You got to give it all you got. I said, just don't stop what you're doing. No, you got to give it all you got. You're gonna turn this thing around and stand up safe and sound. Just don't stop what you're doing. If you're living one day at a time, you feel that you're struggling through. No need to worry about tomorrow, no, 'cause the sun keeps shining through. Well, time stands still for no one. Lucky that you're strong-willed, searching for answers. It's how you get your thrills. Just don't stop what you're doing. You got to give it all you got. I said, just don't stop what you're doing. No, you got to give it all you got. You're gonna turn this thing around and stand up safe and sound. Just don't stop what you're doing. 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 You're gonna turn this thing around. Stand up, sip and sound. Don't stop. Everybody needs someone, at least that's what they say. So do you need all the answers, or do they simply get in the way? Yeah, just don't stop what you're doing. You got to give it all you got. I said, just don't stop what you're doing. No, you got to give it all you got. Turn this thing around and stand up, sip and sound. Just don't stop what you're doing. You got to give it all you got. I said, don't stop what you're doing. No, you got to give it all you got. You're gonna turn this thing around and stand up, sip and sound. Don't stop what you're doing.
So that one's got kind of a funky guitar thing going on, right? Funky, yeah, blues so, thing.
You know, as we've always talked about, haven't we? There's only, you know, three or four things you can write about in the blues, isn't there? Your yeah. wife left, aunt left you, your dog died, and a train, right? So you've got to kind of bring in other things too. So, you know, so that was my attempt to kind of to stop rewriting the same songs over and over.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't. No, I was revisiting some of the stuff, and what is it? It's the give me one second. Let me look at some of my notes. It was what is it? Turn the Sky Blue. Is that the song that you did?
So Paint the Sky Blue was
Paint the Sky Blue. And that one totally crushed out of like, you know, your standardized vibe, if in fact that would be a right way to classify it. And so I don't think you're locked in a box by any means. I mean, when you tour, I imagine you got to hit the blues because that's kind of what, you know, that's what's on the poster, basically. You know what I mean? But then there's so much room with you guys with what you do on, when you actually sit down to play.
And again, that's a classic example of what we were just saying. You know, Sandy bringing in that jazz feel, you know, which is beautiful. That high, pretty piano through it, and that's right. I mean, we all love to, you know, hear a nice ballad every now and again. And so that was definitely was an attempt to try and break out of that box a little. It's still our number one song. I mean, is
well, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, so thank you for that. It's something I didn't expect. You know, you kind of write these things just kind of hoping people are not going to think, well, it's too different. But yeah, so that's a good sign. So, you know, I tend to write more ballads than what I would have originally done due to that song. So it really kind of set that standard. Yeah.
Well, I imagine at this point you already have like a pretty healthy suitcase full of blues, so to speak. And then to say, you know, I understand music. I can have other moods. It's kind of fun to do that. And then if it turns out to be so successful, that's very cool as well.
Yes, that's true. Well, that's it. At the end of the day, it's not about doing it for me, is it, or us or anything. It's simply, you know, writing music that you hope people enjoy. Yeah. So that's bringing in things and, you know, looking at your strengths and that kind of thing and looking at, you know, the market sometimes is, it tells you what people are listening to and you get those ideas and you go with that. Like I said, some of the songs that I really didn't necessarily have heart and soul into, just purely because it was trying something different. Those are the ones that people have liked. So it's interesting how music works, isn't it?
Is that possible because of a more relaxed view on it when you're doing it? It's not that you care less or more, but because you're like, well, I don't have to push this in the way I normally do because I love doing the blues and I love doing it this way.
Yes.
And so there's more of a relaxed disposition when you're approaching the song.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's exactly how it flows. That's right, yeah. So it's just being careful, isn't it, that you're still, you know, your listeners are still enjoying your vibe, but you're just bringing other things into it. And you've got to do that, you know, generally. There's plenty of songs I've written that I haven't released. There's time and place for those, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but this is the beautiful thing. As Sandy and I get on very well from a songwriting point of view, as I said, and that's what anything is like, isn't it? It's like band members, is you all kind of have to be on the same page, but you also have strengths that you bring in and help each other out with, and that's something definitely with this Bare Bones, that even the choice of songs that was such a help that Sandy was
well helpful. It's funny because that's what I was going to work to next with Sandy. How do you get presented a song to work on in partnership? How does Ryan approach you with, like, is it like, I have an idea, will you help me tease it out, or?
Yeah, it starts with an idea, thresh it out a bit, I guess, and just see how we go, write it out. I need to write things down. I need the form of a song, so that's where I kind of start, I guess. I'm being an ex-accountant.
Yeah.
I do also music by maths.
Yeah.
Or that kind of challenge of thinking how things will fit together. And then on top of that, then we just sort of try this, try that, see how that fits, whether it's a piano kind of sound, a jazzy kind of piano, or whether it's an organ, sort of get John Lord organ in there and that kind of thing. Different voices. So I'm lucky in that respect. I've got so much on the keyboard. I can, it's quite versatile to pick what's going to fit.
I think what I enjoy or how we came about is, and of course what I love is that any person you write with, it's anything, you kind of feel their vibe, and of course it's how you present it to them. So for example, with Sandy, I would literally do just a really bare acoustic track, send it to Sandy. But I think I still remember when we first started writing, that whole kind of asking questions, Ryan, how do you want, what are you supposed to do? That kind of thing, where I don't, because to me, the magic in songwriting is that other view on it. So I never give direction. And that to me has always worked. So I'd say, Sandy, do what you do on this. There is no right or wrong. You just do what you do. And that's all. That's, I think to me, that's the magic, how things have worked so good at this point, isn't it?
Put your own mark on it.
Yeah. It's that trust and knowing that the respect for the other artist, that they're going to bring something to it. And like I said, music is art. That's why I've always seen it. So there's no such thing as right or wrong. You know, it's creating a vibe. Yeah. And so it's lovely too. I quite often write it on my own, of course, and release on my own, but it's very nice to do that, to have that input from someone else.
How long have you guys worked together? Because what you're talking about is really an innate trust that either develops back and forth, or it was just immediate? And I guess I'm asking both questions. What, how long have you worked together? And was it an immediate thing where you work that way? Or has it just been through the years that it's built up to that?
That's a bit of both.
Yeah. So it would be about four to five years, something around that. And so, yeah, Sandy was brought in to the Midnight Blues band as a keys player. And that sort of developed into Sandy playing other instruments with us and singing. And then, of course, the whole writing thing. So, yes, it's always a risk, isn't it, of hoping, because, you know, friends, musicians can be great live but not so good with the songwriting. They sometimes just don't like the recording aspect of it. And we were just fortunate. We had that clip from the minute she stepped into the studio. And it's just, I mean, it's, you know, it's a cheesy thing to say, but we had that connection straight off the bat and haven't questioned it, thought about it since.
Yeah, that's right. Being sort of on the same page and having this, like, similar songs or the blues connection, I've played in bands and different things and solos, duos, and then coming together, we've got this list of songs and the feel that we want to have together as part of the band and the duo. So that sort of was instantly there, wasn't it? And just building on that.
And it's nice to have that. It can be a hit and miss, you know. We all have performed with other people and recorded and written, and it just hasn't worked. And famous stories of that, that you assume that that writing works and it doesn't. Right. So we were fortunate,
So, Sandy, when you were invited into the band, was it then maybe a sense of freedom to play within the framework was that was already there that you're kind of talking about as well? Did it? I imagine that would spark this feeling of like, wow, I'm connected to these cats. I'm able to step in, do what I can do. They seem to really appreciate it and vibe off of it. And there's a connectedness.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a connection. And freedom too, I guess, with the blues and jazz, not that we're too jazz focused in the blues, but it gives it, opens the door to for soloing. And you know, sometimes those solos are different. It's not like a pre-rehearsed solo every time. So that gives you that, that freedom and creativity.
Right.
But which I love doing, and that's, you know, all part of that kind of feel and that presentation of what you're doing.
I think that goes back to what you mentioned before about how does Sandy kind of fit into this male-dominated blues feel. Is that that's another very interesting point that Sandy has brought up, is you have never seen anyone improvise on the spot. And I put Sandy on the spot. I put every bandmate on the spot, and they hate me for it. So live, right, it's a drum solo, and that look of fear in their eyes. Well, you know what? Sandy's the only one who smiles when it goes to doing
that. She likes the challenge, man.
It's, I love a musical challenge.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. So that's...
Well, I would also add that the complicated, it's not like you're doing 12-bar blues every time either. So the anticipation of where the changes are come from a higher level at that point, because your songs aren't structured in that simplistic blues manner. Or some of them may be, but I'm saying generally speaking, you have a little more going on than that because you're playing with the actual format of blues. So I assume that added an extra challenge to what you were doing, Sandy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's sort of question answer thing and between the two of us. What do you call that? Sort of, it's like a challenge, an internal challenge where you sort of echo what the other person's done.
And then that, you know, for that me is that buzz every night. Step on that stage and flying blind, you know, just that challenge is awesome. And as I said, you know, a lot of musicians I've worked with, I mean, a lot of musicians are, they can be more structured in how they approach and don't like to be put on the spot because they like it to be all mapped out. And nerves is a big thing, but to me it's that jumping off a bridge thing and hoping for the best every night is magical.
I was so, to use a Detroit expression, ass tight about things being specific in my band. And so, like, I want it to be this thing when I perform it, it's so precise to what I worked at or what the band worked at. And then I came out to LA and I ended up working at the Dresden where Marty and Elaine played, and they were jazz people.
Wow.
And so I was there a lot of nights. I think I ended up there. Well, I was there a lot of nights. And dudes, she would ask me to sing because she found out I was a singer. And I would be like, no, I don't do what you guys do because I didn't do jazz. And eventually it took her some time. She talks me into coming up, and there's these guys that are swinging. And I'm like, I don't even understand that. Why aren't they singing in time? And they're taking some pretty big luxuries and things like that. And then it took me a little while to even start to understand jazz, because they did kitschy jazz, but it was still jazz. Like, they had this freedom, and I felt like I was falling off a cliff every time. Like, I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, am I leading them? Are they leading me? I don't know what's going on, right? So my hat's off to anyone who learns from jazz, because it seems to be so symbiotic. Now, Ryan, you started off as a guitar guy and a blues guy. I imagine jazz was a little bit of a foreign concept, maybe. Is that the case? So now you start to get meld with different musical mind.
Yes, and that's a very good point, and that's exactly right. You know, I mean, a lot of us were blues kind of lead into other things like rock and things like that, which again is very structured. And so you're absolutely right, and that's what I'm loving and learning off Sandy is exactly that, is that just bringing that into it. For me, it's still a wee bit foreign, but it's lovely to add that in there. It's such a learning curve, and I guess this is the big thing for all of us, isn't it? Moving forward, it's learning, isn't it? And introducing different challenges, things like that. So I do love that. So yes, it certainly has been a wee bit of a change from what I'm used to, that's for sure, for timings and rhythms. And so, and as I said, that improvising thing, and that whole kind of concept. Yes,
on the spot, we have to fall off that cliff and then fly.
Wow. Yeah. And Sandy, do you feel like when you first jumped on, that maybe it was like a foreign concept to the blues players, like, what you're like, hey, no, that's okay, we can do this, and we can just float with it a bit, and it doesn't have to be carved in stone? And I mean, did you feel like there was a slight resistance at first to the idea?
Well, no, it's a balance, isn't it? So I mean, you do have to have structure, and I'm good at that. I'm a teacher too.
Yeah
Gotta have some sort of structure within there.
So that part you got down anyway.
And then you can also fly as well.
Yeah.
Doing your own creativity, whether it's on the spot or kind of a semi-rehearsed.
Yeah. So I guess that is a great question, because even I haven't asked Sandy that, is how did she feel when she came on board? And as you're asking John about how she fit in, and whether that felt a bit foreign to her because it was a wee bit rigid, knowing she has that, the flexibility in jazz and things like that. Right. So I guess that is a great question, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess you start off like that. I mean, you've got to learn songs, although most of them I did know.
Yes.
So you get together and then you kind of just add your own feeling and stamp on it.
I just did a session. I'm going to record two songs with this jazz outfit, and to me, these guys are just like, their ability to float within, I mean, it's structured, but they're still just so loose with how they flow. And it just amazes me, man, how a jazz artist really, really examines things. And in America, I don't know that jazz is as popular by any means as it used to be. And especially any kind of free form jazz or even progressive jazz. I think it's all kind of dropped out, as maybe even blues to that matter. But my hat's off to you if you come from that discipline, because it does, you can take and learn to float and start that way, and you can learn to tighten up. I think it's a little harder to go the other way after you teach yourself to be tight with something and then just let it loosen. You know, I don't know. Ryan, what do you think? Do you think it's easier for you to loosen to maybe a jazz standard, or
I don't know. Again, that is a very good point. I'm trying to sort of think myself, is, you know, it's easy to have a structure, isn't it, to start with. So I guess it's where you began. So for me, and a lot of music, as we know, can be quite structured and you know, has a format to it, where jazz doesn't often. Well, it depends the style of jazz, but so yeah, I think for me, it certainly is easier to bring elements in. I think I would have struggled to kind of have started in jazz.
It's just interesting.
So I think for me, that would have been the way it definitely was easier for me, and I believe easier to add in elements of jazz, because the beautiful thing with jazz is it's many things, isn't it? It's the type of instruments you use, it's rhythms, it's timings, it's feelings, it's all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So that's what I love, what Sandy brings, because just when I'm going, no, it needs to be a low piano chord, she brings in the opposite of the low, does a pretty high jazzy kind of thing, and I go, that's exactly what the song needed. I don't often in that headspace, so that's the beauty of adding elements of jazz and different instruments too that we wouldn't normally, you know, blues, you know, guitars, organ, drums, vocals, right, bass, that's it. Where there's so many other instruments to bring in, and I think that's important too, especially in this day and age, to kind of evolve into something else or bring other instruments in to color the sound. Yeah.
Well, I do tend to like to beat the proverbial dead horse to death. So do you find there's a yin and a yang between, I mean, Sandy does blues as well, so it's not like blues is foreign to her. But yes. Do you feel like there's a yin and yang to what you're talking about? Like the songs become more complete because of the flow that you two have created within these two musical minds, so to speak?
Yes. And I, to be honest, I think that's happening more and more. You know, it's slowly, it's me letting go of the reins a bit. If I'm being honest.
Now we found the real button, didn't we? I'm teasing, of course.
But no, it's true. I think, yes, because that is the way that I want to go, you know, but it's a learning curve for me too. Yeah. So I've been used to letting that in. So absolutely, I do. It definitely is that balance. I think so. Yeah. So
what do you think, Sandy?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's too difficult because you sort of guess what the other players coming to on a song. You can sort of predict where it's going. Well, for me, I can sort of feel it even without, like with a new song, I can almost mathematically, here we go again, work out where it's some of the recordings. I can almost play it straight. So just once you're in that feel, so it's not as difficult to kind of add whatever colour or what you're wanting to get out of the song. And when you know each other and the longer you play together and as the band as well, it's more automatic.
Yes.
I guess so.
And that's an important and beautiful thing that happens is instinctively knowing each other. But can I add to finish what I was just saying
before?
Of course,
man.
I'm laughing because I'm talking about that letting go thing from me. It's the the risk for me, which I did purposely to challenge myself, I must add, is that Sandy's only recently been given the role of musical director for the duo and for the band. So I'm laughing because that, as you can imagine, for me was tough because I'm thinking, okay, she's just going to turn it into jazz, right? So everything's
my chance.
Everything's that's right.
She'd been waiting in the wings, man.
There's jazz twirl to it. So I'm really interested to it's been an interesting ride already to kind of take that risk for me, letting go, because I have normally run everything and organized and that sort of thing. So it's been really lovely, I must say, at this point so far.
Yeah. That's funny. That's my point with the Marty and Elaine thing. I didn't know how to just be there, and like the tempo would be, they prided themselves on not playing the same song the same way twice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So there would be some different element no matter what's going on. And oftentimes it was just different tempo or, they would play what mood they were in. They were like true jazz artists.
Awesome.
And it, to your point, I think it was a huge struggle for me to just not control it. And I'm like, I'm trying to control something. I don't even have control over how Elaine's going to play or Marty's going to play, but I somehow am going to control it. Right.
So I feel like every night.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a great lesson because I did get over it pretty quickly. And it even with other things in my life, it just made me better off. So hats off to the jazz players, because their mindset really is to feel what's going on out there and kind of meld with it opposed to struggle with it.
Yes. Yes.
But I would like to put in a song that both of you guys are involved with, although I don't know. This is kind of just straightforward. Devil's Gonna Pay.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll get that into the mix and people can hear you two playing together.
Wonderful.
All right. Yeah. We're going to roll that right now.
Well, just outside of the city lives an old evil man. He calls himself Papa Latba, but I don't want him around. He's gonna pay. I said the devil's gonna pay, 'cause he's been hanging around too long. About time he just moved on. Heading west over yonder, you see a little crazy town. If you ever go down to Georgia, yeah, you might just see him around. He's gonna pay. I said the devil's gonna pay. Oh, he's been hanging around too long. lucky old Willie Brown. You know he never lost a soul at the crossroads, but he wants to bring that man down. He's gonna pay. I said the devil's gonna pay. Yeah, he's been hanging around too long. About time he just moved. Well, if you ever come across my path, I'm gonna send your ass to jail. And you'll pay. That's right, you'll pay. Cause you've been hanging around too long. About time you just move on. Cause you've been hanging around too long. About time you just moved on. Cause you've been hanging around too long. About time you just moved on.
So that's, I like that song a lot. I liked it. I think we used it in the last podcast. Sandy, I only thought you did keyboards on that, but I think my notes indicate you did guitar as well.
He was going to play. Yeah, there's keyboards and might be a growly organ underneath.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
yeah, a bit of guitar. Yeah, so any
and,
chance to play guitar.
And vocal.
Yeah, that as well. Oh, I did. I forgot that. We have to cover how you developed your voice. Like, where did, were you in the church choir? How do we go about that?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, starting singing at school, you're always in a choir.
Yeah.
Just enjoying it from there, having some lessons later in life. And I mean, life's always a lesson, isn't it? You're always trying to get better at what you do. So I'm always looking at kind of, you know, progressing and doing that. So it's always a challenge. It's part of my musical challenge is to sing more. And yeah,
so when you were younger, did you do recitals where you played the piano as well as sang?
Yeah, mostly I guess piano and guitar, ukulele, and it was probably more in later years that I got more into singing and getting the confidence and doing singing. I was so engrossed in piano, that was my thing from, you know, about age 3, sitting there trying to work out how to do different songs, and didn't have time for singing at that stage. Just that love of music, and sort of brought on the thing as well. So
yeah, I want to ask you a math question.
Uh-oh.
How long did it take you to coordinate the left with the right when you played keyboards? Because I could never do that. I just had the hardest time. I could play like root notes with my left and whatever I wanted on my right. What age were you kind of very good at that?
Oh, heck. Probably pretty well straight away, because it tends your rhythm, isn't it? So you've got to have some bass and rhythm in what you're doing. So once you get, as I say to my students, separate hands. So you've got to learn it. So it's like automatic in the left. You're right, so you can be thinking about anything else because you're not really having to think about what you're doing.
Right.
So if you're even in a set position, you can just battle away doing those bass notes and then off you go with your melody. So, yeah, it's like anything, it's just time, isn't it?
Well, so the end of my math question has to do with when you could actually play keyboards and sing at the same time. Because yet again, that's something I can't do.
I find that, probably easier to sing with the guitar. There's something about just strumming guitar, putting it on and singing. Maybe you can move around a little bit more, but sometimes I guess I'm usually standing, so I can move a little bit, but it's more fixed and you've got to look down more. So I probably practice more doing that, singing with keys, than a more natural kind of.
Interesting. Well, that brings me to a really good point. So playing guitar and singing is kind of good for you, and then now the two of you are going to be traveling, playing guitars and singing. So what brought that about?
Yeah, so I think it was, again, the fact that we've been performing for so long together, and we often do a bit of a duo around where we live and things like that. And that whole need again, I think, to kind of get these songs out. You know, we've written them. And then, of course, you know, the idea is we were excited about these songs. And it's a case then of saying, well, we want to travel these and test them and things like that to a wider audience. So I think it kind of stems a bit from that. Like a lot of times, even though it's nervous and you're worried and all those insecurities that you often have, it's also the beautiful thing I believe in myself about music is that you also have that need. You go above and beyond because you just have that energy about those songs. They mean something to you and you want to get those out. So it's nervous and worried and are we prepared and all those sorts of things that kind of gets put aside, I think. Unlike other things sometimes in life, you know, this sometimes you push through because there is a reason or a goal at the end of it. So I guess for both of us, we've talked about this, is it was the challenge of doing this on a larger scale. So, yeah, I think that's... Mm.
I think, yeah, with our love of music, that's a big part of me, is being able to show that and pass that on to others, no matter what we're playing or what we're doing our songs. And if someone else can get something out of that, then that's, you know, just
we've talked for a long
satisfying.
That's right. We've talked for a long time of doing something together like that. And you know, like everything, the timing was great, so we just booked and it was lovely to see that people wanted to hear. You know, the album came out, you know, perfect timing for everything as well, so everything fell into place. And to me, that's a big thing. You know, I go a lot by feel and vibe, so therefore it was just perfect timing, I think, wasn't it, to mm-hmm. connect, and the stars aligned, as we say. And so, yeah, so it's very exciting to see that we're doing this. We've talked about it for a few years, and now is the time to set sail.
Absolutely.
So the presentation of the catalog will basically be a large thrust of the music you two have recently recorded together, and then you're going to take other songs from your own catalog and then pare it down. And that will basically be the presentation, right?
Yeah, so it was a case of, this is album number 10 for us, and therefore we chose what we had road tested, I guess, to be the songs that people enjoyed. So we took those from the previous albums and recorded them as an acoustic version of them. And going back to the idea of stripping them right down and just, the way to test the song for me is if you can pull them off acoustically and people enjoy them, then they're good songs. And that's and so it wasn't necessary. We didn't necessarily pick them. I think everyone else did.
That's cool. Yeah.
So for me, that was a smarter move. We don't want to be playing songs that people don't necessarily enjoy, because as we both agree, it's not for ourselves. It's to kind of bring joy to everyone else.
Yeah. And then so you'll have a basic set list, and then like many other musicians at some night, you'll go, hey, you know what, let's do that one, even though it wasn't on the list. But because Sandy has played with you so long, it's not going to be a surprise. Except so what happens, Sandy, when there's a piano wherever you're playing? Do you get split? Like, will you go, hey, let me do this one on the piano, and then I'll come back to the guitar?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. There'll be a keyboard involved. Keyboard or two, I'm sure.
Nice.
Fortunate at a few venues to have keyboards. Yeah, so in Texas, we'll be doing a few shows where Sandy will appear on keys as well, which is going to be very exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun catching up with our friends and family in Texas.
Oh, that's very cool. Oh, that's right. There's family in Texas. I remember that.
Yeah, a friend of mine in a band that we often join. So Michael Langren, he's I've been writing and performing with him for many years now. So I often... Our first port of call is to catch up with Michael. So we're very excited to be seeing him. It's been a couple of years, I must admit, you know, just various reasons. But now we're looking forward to connecting back with Michael again. And so he'll be joining us for a couple of shows now as well. Michael's a guitarist and singer. So we're looking forward to catching up. And therefore, Sandy will probably play keys at that point, and Michael and I on guitar and vocals.
That sounds really nice, because I think it will just add a variety for yourselves while you're moving along, and especially that might satisfy Sandy's jazz mind. It's like, hey, I want to do something slightly different tonight. Hey, try it on a keyboard.
That's right.
It's not really that different, but it will be in the context of the tour.
Yeah.
So
it's always.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That challenge, isn't it? I think, isn't it? Someone new, something new, a new song brings about a new challenge. And certainly that's what I love about it. It's that falling off a cliff kind
adrenaline,
of
adrenaline. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I can do it.
That's right. An audience member calls out a song and you go, gulp. I hope I recall it, you know.
Yeah.
But you do it.
Yeah.
And that to me is absolute magic of the night.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, which is it's going to be lots of fun having those challenges.
And it keeps it fresh too, so that's cool.
Yeah. So,
well, let's talk about the actual sweep that you're doing. Where are you starting, and where are you going? And the dates might be helpful as well.
Off to Dallas, isn't it? 11th of April.
So
39 days time, not that I'm counting. So first stop Dallas, and then Memphis. Five
nights in Memphis.
And then Nashville.
Yeah, we head up to Nashville. Back down to Dallas-Fort Worth.
Dallas and then out.
Catch up with fans and friends in Dallas-Fort Worth. And then where do we head to then?
Across to Vegas.
And we head to Vegas.
A few nights
in Vegas.
Bit of
driving. Las Vegas, huh?
That's right. It's one of my favorite places. Yeah. I always try to catch up with people there. And then so we head to San Francisco at that point.
Yeah.
And, of course, coming to see you. And
nice, man. Yeah. We'll work something out.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
And then so where should a person go to be able to, like online, to be able to see the calendar of the event?
Okay. So we have, our Facebook page, which is Southern Sky, which is a duo name that Sandy and I have been going under for a few years now.
Right.
Neville and Sandy, and of course we've got ryanneville.co.nz is their website. So it's the 15th, our first show as we fly into Dallas Fort Worth on the 11th of April, and our first show is on the 12th in Dallas Fort Worth. And so it's a 3-week tour. And so we fly back into New Zealand on May the 5th.
Yeah.
So we have various Facebook pages and things like that, which we'll be streaming and so forth on our journey across. But southernsky.co.nz is a great place to catch up on us.
I'll also add into the podcast page some of the information as well, so that people can get hip with that. So I thought about playing Mad at Myself. Because I thought that was a little more stripped down on your part, and it might give the vibe of what you're talking about. So I'm going to roll that right now. As long as it doesn't offend you guys, I'm going to roll that right now.
That sounds good to me.
Sit alone by myself. I sit alone by myself. This time you're gone and left me. So sit alone by myself. And when you said you're gonna leave me, I should've guessed there's someone else. I'm so mad at myself. Well, I'm so mad at myself. How could I let you leave me? I'm so mad at myself. 'Cause when you told me that you'd leave me, I should have saved you for myself. The day that you left, I haven't found nobody else. Well, since the day that you left, I could not find nobody else. I should have known how to love you, then there'd be nobody else. Thank you.
Hey, Ryan, is there anything specifically you want to talk about that you think would benefit touring?
No, I think you've, as you always do, John, you've covered it really well, which is brilliant. Like I said to you last time, you always have a lot of fun to chat too, because you bring up things that many people don't and things that I wouldn't have thought about. So it's been really good.
You guys are kind enough to be open. A lot of times I interview musicians and they're pretty uptight about their images and things like that. So it doesn't really allow for like an honest conversation. And it doesn't, obviously we could beat music to death all we wanted to between the three of us. We could talk about it forever. And then it becomes kind of incidental to people who aren't musicians at some level. So I try to just kind of not go too far that way.
Yeah, but no, that's great. I mean, that's, as you said, it's not just about the music all the time. I mean, the thing for both of us is there, and I'm sure you feel that too, isn't it? It's that joy of playing and everything that goes on with that. And sometimes that's nerves and sometimes that's love for things. And, you know, it's just feelings and emotion and that connection. And that, to me, has always been first on the list of things. So that's why I love what you ask us about, because it's about how we feel rather than just about the song and that kind of thing. Yeah, so we are giving away signed copies of our Bare Bones CD. So
nice.
So maybe mention.
I think we just did. If you're okay with Miss Roland, you know, through, unless you want me to cut that out, I'm happy to, because it was kind of I didn't mean to set it up that way, but I realize, like we just talked about it, and unless there's something in there that seems kind of really adverse, then I'll just roll with what we did, because that's, I think you're right, that's the whole point of it. It's your relationship with Sandy right now that's making, and vice versa, I don't mean to make it one-sided, that's what's really making all of this happen. I don't know that people generally understand how difficult what you're taking on is. And I personally applaud that. You know, I'll try to get us a gig in LA, but I probably can't do it at this point, because a lot of the houses want pre-packed rooms. Like, it's not pay to play per se, but they're like, look, traveling bands are hard for us to book because people don't know them so well.
Yeah, we've been really blessed with what we did. And that's, you know, there's all sorts of reasons for that. But, you know, 4 or 5 years of traveling to America has really helped me build up a relationship with venues. So you're right. And things have got a lot harder. So I've certainly struggled getting places that we thought we were guaranteed at. So, yes, I totally get it.
It's weird, too. And I think people don't want to go out as much, because I think COVID did a damage to that. And, you know, bars, there's more bars for sale now across the United States than I've ever seen. It's kind of my dream to own a club bar. And I look all the time. I'm like, damn, I don't have the money for it, but there's plenty available. People don't go out anymore, you know, to the extent that they used to.
Yes. And we feel that here too.
Yeah. And I there's no part of me that it's dampening the talk to you, but it's just, I want to add it in so people understand how difficult it is for you guys to pack off and tour. And if someone can get, like, I support music, I go out and see it. That's how I worked a gig with these jazz players. They play at the Baked Potato all the time, which is a premier jazz club in LA. It's been here 1,000 years, and they're fantastic musicians. And they're just, I think they're grateful that someone came out with a pretty dedicated mind saying, man, you guys are great. I'm not afraid to tell people. Like, hey, man, you guys are freaking amazing. I wish I could do what you guys do, you know, and you guys are doing it. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's a very different landscape this time around than the last couple of tours I've done. Exactly. It's just a very different, and like everything, you just have to roll with that and find ways in and so on. So, it certainly has changed what people are doing. Which is sad. We hope that it all turns around at some point. So in that respect, I feel really fortunate. We both do for being able to come this time around. You know,
I would even add, you know, it's a huge, I would give you a huge compliment to, because it's an ability. Like, I don't know how you're doing it. Like, you're putting it together and you're traveling with it. That's an ability you had prior to COVID. You've always had. We talked about it the last time. And it's a very, very credible ability that a lot of people just don't have. So kudos to you.
Oh, yes. Thank you for saying that. It's really, really nice to hear, because that is, it hasn't been easy, as I'm sure you know. Yeah. Even just getting equipment across, the expense of traveling with equipment, which a lot of musicians complain about often, it's just diabolical. Luckily, I've got a bit of equipment in the US, so that's helped. But I mean, it's ridiculous to carry anything across. Full price. But you know, that's just the things you do. Like
it's part of it. Right.
Yeah, that's right. The thing for love of music, right?
Well, I think we talked about that before, because one of my bigger curiosities is like, how do you guys end up loving blues so much? And then we talked about how you gig, and I'm like, well, it's a little different. I can hop in a van in Detroit and drive down to Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, or wherever. You guys got to jump airplane from island to island, I would assume. I mean, I don't mean to be ignorant to where you live. Maybe it's not that, but.
Yeah, no, of course. That's exactly it. It's a 12-hour flight, you know, and a connecting flight from Los Angeles across. So it's a bit of travel involved, isn't it? Booking hotels and accommodation. But yeah, it's like I said, that drive is there because, I mean, as you know, John, I've said to you many times that I just love everything about the States. Hearing you even mention bar names and states and towns and countries just blows my mind. And I'm sure you, because you've lived there, you hear there all the time. But for me, it's that massive connection I've always felt. So,
well, yeah. I have to agree with you. And I live here. I'm not a jaded old F. So I basically, like, there are so many aspects to travel. I've not been fortunate to travel out of country very often. But within this country, there are so many different cultures. I mean, it's becoming more homogenized, which is sad to me. But I guess the bean counters and the powers that be like that. But, you know, it still is. Like, for you guys, it must just kind of blow your mind, like we talked about before. I think I asked, what was your favorite place? That day it was San Francisco. Is it still the same favorite place?
Ooh, yeah. Look, that's always up there. But you know, the more I've traveled there, it's hard to pick one, right? It just is. Every part of
it is
different landscape, has different feel, different vibe, different people, different. Yeah. Mm. Where I mean, here where we're very little, so it can be a bit samey. So you know, flying to the North Island is not like flying from one side, you know, the west coast to the east coast of the States, is it?
Yeah, but it's still, they're a very beautiful samey, opposed to like if you're in some bleak New Mexico or Texas place, you know what I mean? Sandy, what about you? What have you been to the States?
Yeah, I've been a few times, so yeah, I probably couldn't pick a favorite place either, really.
Oh, you can't leave today until you pick a favorite. Well, what's your second favorite place then?
Well, you were saying that you like Los Angeles.
Yeah, I was going to say LA.
It's LA is interesting, yeah. LA is very interesting.
It is, yeah. There's so much to see in every city or every place you go to.
Yeah, every state's different, isn't it? That's the big thing that we find, because we don't have that here.
Yeah.
But you drive and you go from mountains to flat to deserts. You're like, what? Are we on another planet? I mean, yeah, it's amazing.
It is. And you can do that in California if you go 40 minutes in any direction and the topography completely changes. So it's a very interesting state too.
That's amazing.
Anyway, guys, I don't mean to keep rambling with you. Did you want to say something, Ryan? I was going to close out, but it's fine if you wanted to add something. I just don't want to make you feel like I'm just making it drag on with you guys.
No, look, this is always awesome, John. As I said, it's always been lots of fun. It just, as I said, hearing you speak and knowing that we're going to see each other very soon is very cool. That's very cool. And look, I said, we don't mind whether we're not playing. I just would love to catch up with you.
I get it, man.
And then we'll hang out or show us your favorite venue or something. We would love to.
I'll get you down to the jazz club I used to work, and then I'll get you guys some dinner. I don't know if you're offended by steak. They have a lot of that. I think they've added vegetarian diet, if that's your thing.
We love steak, right?
Yeah, we'll work it out, and I'll get you down there. It's a cool place. Or maybe I'll get you out to the baked potato if we can do that, too.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, it's been great talking to the both of you. If you want to close out, I'll let you do it. But I want to just tell you it was a fabulous visit. So thank you very much.
No, thanks to you.
Yeah,
that's good. As I said, we must do this more often. And it'd be great to catch up, which we're going to, right? So let's go.
Absolutely.
smile, it was all right. All alone with suspicion and a gun inside. Well, she crawled out my window and she never looked back. I'm still playing your witness. You're messing with the devil's business. Yeah, I'm still playing your witness. You're messing with the devil's business. Driving through the darkness down highway. But I was looking for her everywhere, there was no place to run. Well, she could be like an alley cat as the sirens wail. Gotta track it down like a bloodhound.